have a website right now, naturalfarminghawaii.net. So you can go there for additional information. So tonight we have Kalei here, who I just met, but I've been receiving her newsletter for quite some time now. Auntie Pua Mendoza told me about Hawaiian Moon Calendar to kind of get in touch with planting with the natural cycles of time and energies moving through. So I subscribe to her monthly PDF. It's about 4 pages long and has all kinds of good info. It's really fun too. And on there was a little thing that said, email me if you want a presentation. So I emailed her. And here she is.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for showing up.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Obviously, this is our first time that we're all meeting. I'm not really a really good speaker. I'd rather light myself on fire than speak in front of a public meeting. So it takes a while for me to actually get going. So if you, I have to ask for patience for the first at least 10 minutes. Like when you take off on a plane, you know, there's the bumpy turbulence, and then eventually you get to the altitude you're supposed to be at, and then it's all smooth after that. So please have patience with me. Thank you so much, Drake, for inviting me to this evening. I really enjoy talking about the moon calendar. Biodynamism is actually a really big thing right now, learning how to farm utilizing the moon. Most of the wine folks up in Napa actually spend a lot of time in learning how to plant by the moon. But anyway, so I enjoy talking about it. This is from a Hawaiian perspective and how Hawaiians utilize planting. They did live on 8 islands for thousands of years and figured out how to be sustainable and not have to worry about running out of food. They did occasionally have famines and things like that, but everything from fishing to farming to having meetings to having babies, and you're going to shed a light on that. So having babies or what not to have babies, all of that was based on the cycle of the moon, the lunation of the moon. So tonight's talk is basically focused on farming. And I didn't put any fishing in there at all, but we can talk about having babies if you're interested. I don't know. There might be some folks who are interested in that. So, okay. Thank you. I'm real casual, so if you have a question, just ask, because I'm just going to keep on going with it myself, and you'll forget the question, and I won't get back to it. So just ask the question right away. It's real casual. I guess I should introduce myself. I am Kalei Nuhuhiva. I come from the island of Maui, born and raised on Maui, actually. Got married, had children. This is my daughter. She's supposed to be here. So she says, if you're looking for a massage person, that's her. That's the thing. So we should have brought your cards. We should have brought the table. There's a thing called Lomia Holo, which means if you call, she'll show up at the table and, Lomi you and all that. So that's my commercial for her. I had children, and then I didn't really know I was smart. That's kind of how some things happen in life. I started to hang around with a lot of kupuna in those days. I started learning how to speak Hawaiian, and there were quite a few individuals who still lived by the moon back then at that time. And they used to like to share their stories with me, and at the time I wasn't really listening very well because I just started learning how to speak Hawaiian. And so a lot of the things they were saying probably went over my head at that time, but they had patience with me for some reason, and I don't know why that is. I got involved with Kaho'olawe, the Protect Kaho'olawe Ohana for many years, went there for 15 years, ended up getting tired working. Found out, I was like, hey, man, I'm really smart. Okay, and so I ended up going to school, came here, UH Hilo. Then I went to, and I graduated with BA there. Then I went on to get a master's at UH Manoa, and I wrote about the Hawaiian Moon Calendar. And most of the research was in my thesis was all about those days sitting with the kupuna And then the many, many volumes of newspaper articles that are in our Hawaiian language newspapers. So I collected a lot over 15 years of just research, just because it was interesting, not because I knew I was going to do something with it. And after writing my thesis, I couldn't put all of that interesting stuff into the thesis. I was kind of sad about that. So I thought, wow, you know, this is just marvelous information that worked then that still applies today, especially for farming and especially for fishing. I mean, we overfish our oceans and we have no connection whatsoever to our environment. You know, as far as we're concerned, we go in a store, we buy our meat in the cellophane, you know, we have no connection to that animal anymore, we have no connection to the chickens that lay the eggs, no connection to the plants that contribute to our livelihood, nor the land that they come from. We don't have any of that. And so one of the things that the Kaulana Mahina, which is the Hawaiian lunar calendar does for us is remind us about those natural cycles and then connect us back to what's going on. Okay, so I thought, wow, this is really cool information. I want people to know it. I want Hawaiians especially to be really proud of where they get their knowledge from. Most of them don't know about it. So I just, on a whim, started this newsletter some 8 years ago, and it's become something that people are interested in, and it's free. I don't charge anybody for it. I do an annual calendar, lunar calendar, if you're interested in that. Mm-hmm. I do charge for that, and so I'll talk about that later. But anyway, that's how my little political stuff got it out of the way. Okay, I'm currently living here in Panaeva. I work with the Edith Kanaka'ole Foundation, mm-hmm. and I am a researcher. That's what I do. I research environmental knowledge, and basically my knowledge base is about the Hawaiian celestial perspectives of the moon, the sun, the stars, the clouds, how to read clouds, how to read when rain's coming, how to read when earthquakes are coming, tsunami, etc., all of that. Okay, so that's sort of a phonology that we have. Anyway,
teach us that tonight.
Yeah, I get to do that. Maybe next time you can invite me. Okay. So tonight's talk is basically about the Kaulana Mahina. So everybody say Kaulana.
Kaulana.
Mahina.
Mahina.
Kaulana Mahina.
Kaulana Mahina.
Great. Okay, so I'm going to start off with that. It's called the Hawaiian Lunar Calendar. That's why we're all here. Hello. Okay. All right. So I'm going to start off with the basics. What's the difference between a Kaulana Mahina, a what?
Oh.
Very good. And Alemanaka Kelekolia, I'm not going to ask you to say that. This is what Alemanaka Kelekolia is. Alemanaka is the Hawaiianized version or word, transliteration of their word almanac, okay, or calendar. And Kelekolia is a transliteration of the word Gregorian. So it's the Gregorian calendar, which we're familiar with, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? We know that. There's 7 days in a week, 4.5 weeks in a month, right, basically? Yeah. Okay. 365.25 days in a year, those 25.25 comes into effect every 4 years. We have a leap year, which is happening this year, right? We insert an extra day into our calendar, so January flows when January is supposed to flow, February shows up when it's supposed to be there, March shows up, right? And it goes throughout time. Okay? 12 months in a year. Okay, so this is the calendar that we're very, very familiar with, right? All of us, we're totally familiar with this particular calendar. It has no connection whatsoever to any natural cycle
mm-hmm.
at all. It sort of follows the solar activity, but not really. You know, we kind of know Mondays around, everybody's blue because we have to go to work, you know, and then Friday everybody's happy because, you know, it's day off. If you get the weekends off, it's all good. So we sort of know that by heart. It has nothing to do with any sort of cycle that's a parallel form or a growth process. Okay. And so I'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay, so that follows the seasons. The Gregorian calendar is more about the four seasons that are familiar elsewhere. Kaulana Mahina, on the other hand, is very, very different. Several cultures actually follow a sort of lunar calendar. Okay, mm-hmm. That's actually their beginnings the word lunar, of course, the calendar and all that sort of thing, comes basically from the idea of the cycle of the moon. So the Kaulana Mahina is, that's exactly what it is. It follows the moon. Okay? Hawaiians recognize 30 phases, 30 separate shapes. Okay, that the moon, as it goes through its cycle, it's lunation. Okay, it's not the nation of loon. Okay, lunation is the cycle, okay, as it rises and sets and moves throughout. Okay, it totally does its own thing, separate from the sun, although they are partners in many ways. They need to have each other. Okay, and Hawaiians recognize that as well. Okay, so there's 30 phases. Those 30 phases are separated into 3 weeks. Okay, a week, an old week, is called an anahulu. Everybody say anahulu.
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 Okay, an anahulu. Anahulu is your hulu, is your, are your fingers. And so how many fingers do we have unless we're born special or had an accident? We have
10.
Very good. Okay, so all throughout the Pacific, in the Polynesian languages, you will find that the word anahulu or nahulu or Nahuru are all different words for 10. Okay, so our week before was a 10-day week or a 10-phase week. Okay, so we had 3 weeks, 3 anahulu in a month. Are we good? Everybody following? Okay, so the first week, anahulu, is called Ho'onui. Everybody say Ho'onui.
Ho'onui.
The second is Piha Poi Poi. Everybody?
Piha Poi Poi.
The next is Ho'emi. Everybody?
Ho'emi.
Okay, and well, I'll talk about that in a little bit. A lunar month, the Hawaiian term for a lunar month is Malama. Okay,
malama.
Everybody say Malama.
Malama.
And a Malama is, it's another word for the moon. It's an older term for the moon. Okay. Basically, malama means to be in constant glow. That's basically the breakdown of that word. Okay, we have 12 malama in a Hawaiian year, except when we have to insert a 13th lunar month, which happens every between 3 to 6 years, around there we insert a 13th lunar month, called the malama pili, which is similar to our leap year, where we add an extra day. In this case, we add a whole lunar month in there, and that ensures that our lunar months will flow when they're supposed to, okay, over time. We have 360 days in a year. See, so you can already see the discrepancy, 360 days, as opposed to 365.25. So if you think about that, it takes about, four or five years, 6 years. Oh, yeah. It's sort of 13 lunar months. Okay, got it.
So what's the first week called?
The 13, okay, so there are, it's a very complicated thing, but there are 13 lunar months. And so whenever there's a discrepancy in the sequencing, they'll insert one of the 14 in between. I'm writing a book right now, so when that's over, you are more than welcome to buy it. Okay. Commercial. Okay, and then there's this very important star constellation called the Makalii. Everybody say Makalii.
Makalii.
And the Makalii, and most people know it as the Pleiades, right? The Pleiades, Subaru, Seven Sisters, those guys. Okay, but Makalii for Hawaiians actually has several meanings as well. It also means Venus. During this time of the year, it's also a lunar month for this time of the year. Actually, I think we're in it right now. And then, so it's a whole sequence that's happening. So, basically, what happens is, now let me see if I can get. Okay, this is my attempt at the animation.
That's pretty good.
Okay, so. I have to do this right about now because people need a break on their brain. That was a lot of information. Okay, so, and I used to be a teacher with little ones, so I know you have to have some animation so they follow along. But, okay, this is the sun. Okay, this is the sun. This is the earth. Okay, and this is the orbit that the moon does, the Mahina does. Okay, one side of the moon always faces the sun. And the other side is always in the shade. And as it goes on its orbit, right, as it goes on the orbit, What we view from the earth are the phases that it goes through. So, you know, if I had a square, it would just stay right here, and you could see that the dark part is moving and the white part is moving, and so all of those, that movement there is what gives us our 30 phases. Mm-hmm. You guys see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, very good. All right, it takes Mahina, or the moon, about 27.3 days to go around the earth. Okay? 27.3 days. But another 2 days for the moon to catch up to where the earth is, because the earth is also going around the sun, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So those 2 days where this guy gets stuck for a little bit, we have our new moons, which are the no moons. We don't see them, they're dark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this is all part of the lunation, okay, not the nation of loops, but the actual cycle of the moon. Okay? So that's interesting, right? That's not really what was interesting to Hawaiians. What was more interesting to them is what we saw. Okay, so I took this from NASA.gov. I figure I pay taxes, I'm allowed. So are we all, right? Okay, so this is the 30 phases as we see them from the Earth. Okay, as it's going through its lunation, okay, it's going through its 30 cycles. It's going through, let me pull back. Okay. First, everybody say Ana.
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 Ana is the dark part of the moon. Okay, the shadow, the shade. Okay? Everybody say Kenna.
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 Okay, that's the white part of the moon. Okay, the lit part of the moon. Right? Because the moon actually doesn't produce its own light, it's reflecting it. Okay, so this part of the moon, when it's going round, when it's round on this side like that, that's when it's waning, okay, getting bigger. Okay, when it's round on this side, that's when it's waxing. Okay, 15 phases of its lunation is waxing. During that time, the moon rises in the daytime and sets at night. Daytime, night, okay? Then when it's on this side, it rises at night and sets in the daytime. Okay, you guys get that? Okay, so it's very important in terms of why we need to know this for self-efficient and harming. Okay, so waxing, waning. Okay, these are the 30 phases. So if you recall what our moon calendar or what our Gregorian calendar looks like, the 7 days of the week, right? Mm-hmm. All right, and then 4.5 weeks in a month, this is what our Hawaiian calendar looks like, okay? With the 10 days, the 10 phases, each of the phases, okay? Mm-hmm. These are the Anahulu. Ho'onui, everybody, Anahulu Ho'onui.
Anahulu Ho'onui.
Anahulu Piha Poi Poi.
Anahulu Piha Poi Poi.
Anahulu Ho'emi.
Anahulu Ho'emi.
Very good. So Ho'onui means to get big, to grow.
Yeah.
Okay. Piha Poi Poi means round. So these are all the round phases. Okay, and then ho'emi means to diminish. Okay, so we got our waxing and our waning going on. Each of our 30 phases have names. Okay, they're given names. Let's see, 17 of them are clusters, 13 of them are not, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay. All right, for the folks who need to see it in a lateral way or a linear way, I'll do it this way too as well. So this is our first week, Ho'onui. This is our second week, our second Anahulu. This is our third Anahulu. Okay, any questions so far? Are we following? Okay, great. Okay, so Oihana Lawaila is basically the gathering or the fishing of things in the ocean. So you're gathering things along the shoreline, going into the ocean. This is really easy to see its immediate effects. through fishing. And that's because the tides are affected by the moon, right? That will determine how early or late you're fishing. Okay, so it also is determined by the luminosity of the moon, how bright or how dark the moon is. So the moon rises basically 50 to 55 minutes later every day. So if it rises, let's say yesterday or the day before yesterday, we had our full moon phase. Okay, it's going to rise at the same time that the sun is setting. Okay, we'll be at our zenith at midnight. Will set at the same time that the sun is rising the next day. So if the next moon is going to rise 55 minutes later, and that rose at 6, when does Mahalani rise? Anybody get? 6:55, very good. Roughly 7. So you see, and then the next one's going to be later and later and later. So that's why we have our different times of the day. What matters about that is as the moon is rising, it's pulling up the water. It's like a magnet. And so what happens is you get your high tides and you get your low tides going as it's leaving. Okay, that's very important for fishing, determining whether you're working with the current as it's rising or against it as it's setting its pet. As it rises, as it gets back. So you can see the immediate effects for fishing and the moon. Okay, and then the other thing that is affected are the seasonal and cyclical changes that occur between the years. So I'm not really going to talk about that because somebody asked me to only talk about fishing. The farming. So that's where we're going. Okay. Any questions so far? Okay, great. Oihana Mahi'ai means the farming profession. Okay, all you people who are involved with working the island, working the land, and cultivating, basically. Okay, cultivating. Okay, what determines the phase for the activity is basically these three things right here. Okay, the first is, what is the name of the phase, and what does it mean? Okay, what is the name of the phase, and what does it mean? Okay? I'll show you that in a little bit. The next thing is the luminosity of the moon. Okay, how bright is the moon? The bigger the moon, the longer the farming activity was in the old days. They took advantage of that moonlight. Two plants.
Wow.
Various plants. Okay, so there's that. And the other is the seasonal and cyclical change, and then I'll show you that in a bit. So are we good?
We're good. Yes.
Okay. Just shout out questions. Okay, so the very first thing I like to start with, just so you can see the correlation between the name of the phase and the activities that occur, is this, I like to start with the phases called ole. Everybody say ole?
Ole.
Ole means without or none, providing pretty good insight on how unproductive those days are going to be. Because the word ole means without or not. Okay, so we have four on the waxing. Okay, we got four. We have three on the waning. The waxing guys are, man, you know when they come into town. You know when the ole's hit, it's ole. You know you just can't get anything done. You know, you seem to be always trying to find things and get there, you can't get there. The staff meeting is not running well for some reason, whatever. I guarantee you it's happening on the older thing. Okay? We've got four of them. Okay? And then we've got three on the waning. These aren't so bad, but they're still always because they provide insight on how unproductive we're going to be. So these are the days. 7 days out of the lunar month are saved for fixing your gear, maintenance of your working implements, that kind of stuff. If you're a fisherman, you're mending your nets. If you're a farmer, you're fixing your planting implements and things like that. Okay. The other thing that you can do is prune back plants on the ole phases. Hawaiian seed, if you cut or prune back your plants during these phases, they will stay cut back longer. Okay, that's one of the beliefs. Okay, so cut your hair on ole and seed. It's your own experiment. Okay. All right, so I'm going to start with tea now. I know I've been talking for 20 minutes. So I have to have some animation like I had earlier. Here we are again. Okay, Anahulu Ho'olui. So these are the main phases that we have here. They all follow after the sun. So they rise in the daytime, and then they set just about right after the sun sets, or a little bit after. These guys are in the ocean, it would be the negative tide, the negative tide mornings that you have, because both the sun and the moon rise at the same time. Those are two big magnets pulling up and pushing down. So as that's occurring, you have very high tide, very low tide. Okay. The word hilo means twisted, slender, and of course, this wonderful place that we live at. Okay. You can pretty much plant anything but bananas, because your bananas will be too twisted or slender. Okay, so you plant during those times. Hoaka means an arch, okay, shadow, open slash. Okay. Ku means to appear, to grow straight up and down, erect, steadfast, alight, to rise, etc. So these phases are excellent, all of these are excellent for farming. Okay? The moon is up all day. So the idea of cool means to appear and be up in the sky for the whole entire day. Okay. So these are our first phases. We start with Hilo and Hoaka, and these are the first clusters that we have. Okay, there are four cool phases. And the reason why they're clustered together in terms of names, they rise about the same time. They look very similar. They have points at the end of their... It looks like the horns of a bull. Same activity occurs. Okay. All right. So, I like pretty pictures. Okay. So, if we look at the word cool, okay, cool, to grow upright, to grow erect, to stand tall, what kind of plants do you think would be very effective? What's that?
Trees.
Very good. Anything else? Say again.
Corn.
Very good. Because it grows upright. Yeah. Okay.
Bamboo.
Anything that grows straight and upright. Okay. Say again.
Whole beans.
Okay. I guess so. I'm not sure. They grow up. Maybe, we'll see. Okay, hope that is your thought. Okay? Alright, taro, you want them to grow, they stick the huli into the ground. There's the beneath, if you put them on kukahi, there's one. Kulua, you'll get two sprouts out of it. Kukolu, you get three. Sweet potato, two as well, because you mound them up. And they have to grow upright, right? I mean, even though they're sort of tendrils, the plant, the actual tuber itself has to be upright in back of the day. And of course, trees. Very good. Good times if you're a wine planter. Those are the moons that you plant your moons, your vines for wine. Okay, so just so we remember, the next four phases that follow after the cool are these guys, which are, well, Ole, very good. Half moon, half. So you get that idea, okay? So your day is not actually full. It's time for maintenance, not necessarily for planting. The only ole phase that is okay for planting is the word. Is this one called ole pau? Everybody say ole pau.
Ole pau.
Okay, and ole pau and ulu mean the same thing. Okay, ole pau means to never end, to continuously grow or be, and ulu means to grow. So it is thought that if you plant on the ole pau night, you actually will have good round fruit for your ulu trees, things that are upright, like that. Okay, and this is about the time that the moon starts to be bright at night. Okay, starts to become bright at night. And that's when Hawaiians started to do nighttime planting. Okay? Planting under the light of the moon was very important. They planted in the daytime as well, but something about the luminosity of the moon for them meant a lot. Okay? Because they believe that energy, that female energy, entices things to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Things such as gourds. Okay? So here, again, you know, 20 minutes I was talking, gonna have animation. Okay, so we have, these are the three phases, Puna, Mohalu, and Hua. Okay? Puna is called Puna because, you remember, all the rest of those phases had tips on them? Okay, those tips disappear now and they become, this moon becomes rounder again. It gets very bright. Okay, gourds were planted in the evening during this phase, Puna. Okay, and the reason for that is they believe, it was a nighttime ceremony they did. They ate as much as they could eat till they were full, full, full. Drank as much as they could drink till they were, well, full, full, full. Okay? Then they would take their seeds. Okay, and previously in the daytime they had already dug out some holes. Okay, they covered them up for the day, and then at night they would open them again, and then they would carry the ipu seeds, the gourd seeds, as if the gourd itself was extremely heavy and round and fat. And they would say from the time that they left the house when they were, you know, satiated, boy, this gourd is going to be really, really huge. It's so heavy. I don't know how to carry it already. And they would continually talk to it until they got to the hole, and under the light of the moon, they would plant their gourd. Okay, they would plant the gourd seeds, cover it up, and the idea of the leaves being big enough to shade it and protect it throughout its growth cycle was one of the reasons why they did that, and they would have these wonderful gourds, very round. This one actually comes from Puadui, which is on the Kohala side. They tried using the same practice, and this is the end result of that. Mm-hmm. It still is doable. Okay, the next moon phase is called Mohalu. Everybody say Mohalu.
Mohalu.
Mohalu means to bloom. So what do you think we're planting? Very easy. Okay. Hua.
Hua.
Okay, everybody say hua.
Hua.
Fruit, seed, or egg. You can't really plant eggs, although that would be the time you would have babies. Okay. But you can have seeds and fruits. So plants that have fruits to provide seeds to be edible or to continue growth in things to be planted on the night of hua. And it just so happens that that phase sort of looks like an egg.
Would the chicken lay more eggs during that time?
You know, I don't know. That is one experiment I have not tried. Mm-hmm. I will look. I will promise I will. That's a good first time somebody asked. They usually ask about the having the baby. To either have them or avoid having them. So don't have them if you don't want. Okay, anyway. Alright, so the next three nights, okay, Hawaiians believe that there were four Pumu phases, okay? These are the three first of that cycle, that sequence, okay? These are the brightest nights that we have because of the luminosity of the moon, which I'm sure the moon is out at this point, or pretty soon to be. And you can see how bright the evenings were. Ceremonial weeding occurred, okay, usually by families. And planting of bananas, usually by the men. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But these three nights were reserved for that kind of evening ceremonial activity. They made it a family affair. They would get some ilima and then make a lei out of it, place it on their head. It would be a very nice evening. The whole family would get together and they would go out into their sweet potato patches and weed by the under the light of the moon. Or they would go into their taro and they would weed under the light of the moon. This is a family thing that everybody got together to do. Okay? So I would like to see that again. That must be fun. Okay, so these are those three phases. Okay. We have Akua, rises at about 5. Everybody say Akua.
Akua.
Akua means God or element. Okay, so you know that evening activities are happening. Hoku, everybody say Hoku.
Hoku.
Okay. And Mahialani, everybody say Mahialani.
Mahialani.
Okay, so these are the three phases that we reserve for evening activities, fishing as well. Because again, you have your high tides and your low tides. So because you have your high tides, you'll have seaweed eating fish higher up on the reef, easily gotten by a net if you have to. Okay. All right. Okay, so here we are again. Ceremonial weeding. Hoku is when we have all kinds of animation occurring. Okay. Taro, we plant our taro. It's so fun to do it in the evening. All dressed up. Everybody dressed up and got outside and did it together. Everything was animated by the moon. Everything, including people. Okay? Then we have our ceremonial planting of bananas. See, these are Iholena bananas. They're Hawaiian, Hawaiian variety. And this evening planting occurred on the night of Mahialani and also on the next full moon phase that's coming up called Kulu. So that's Kulu right there. Okay. Kulu means drip, drop, swift, okay, or late at night. And so, again, the Iholena bananas. So what would happen on the night of Mahialani, Kulu, and La'au Pukahi were the evening planting of bananas by only the men. Okay. And what would happen is they would get the huli, which is the little shoot, the banana shoot. Okay, so yes, banana shoot. It's already got a stalk on it. Again, you would eat as much as you could, drink as much as you could. Then the men would all go out and carry their banana, okay, as if it was really, really heavy and really, really full already. And they would walk all the way to the hole and then plant it under the light of the moon. However, there was one particular thing that needed to happen, which is why the men did it and not the women, is a certain appendage of the male's shadow needed to be touching the ground while they were walking that banana over to the wall. Okay. So if I did it, my bananas would look like this. Okay. So it was actually done by men, okay? And so it actually was practiced up until the 60s when I was a kid. And there was this one family in Waihe'e who constantly did their planting that way, their ceremonial planting that way, and they won the county fair every year by the sizes of their bananas. Okay, so since I started doing this presentation, there's some college kids at the UH Manoa who said, hey, okay, I want to give that a try. And I said, sure. So they asked me how to do it. I told them how to do it. And they said, okay. And then I said, report back to me after it's all over. And they said, okay. So, and they did it. And this is at the Heia Fish Pond that they did it on Oahu. And so then I said, so what happened? How'd it go? You know, after it happened, how'd it go? They said, well, we have to remember we're in a modern day activity. And it wasn't so much that they were without clothes or anything. That wasn't the thing was that, you know, everybody has security lights now. Walking around, security lights go on. So that was a mental note of that time. You know, make sure that all those things are off. But so it's been some time. It's been about 8 months since that happened, and they went and they actually harvested their bananas. And so they sent me a picture, which I should actually put it on my presentation, but they have a bottle of Newcastle beer and the banana next to it, and the banana is bigger than the Newcastle beer.
Oh wow.
There you go. Biodynamism. It works. Okay. You all can go ahead and do that too and report back to me. Sure. I think it worked. Okay. All right, so here we are with the La'au night. So everybody say La'au.
La'au.
Okay, and the next three three nights that follow after the full moon phases are these guys where we, remember, we have the waning on this side, so this is where the Ana is going to be eating away at the moon. Okay? La'au kukahi, la'au kunua, la'au pao, these are all words that mean different things, like strength. La'au is another word for plant. Okay? Knot in the flesh. As in, you know, when you have a knot and you need to get it lomi, like by somebody like my daughter. Lomi a holo. Okay. Fresh herbs. Okay? To heal is la'au. To blow is la'au. And there's different types of la'au that they do by blowing different things. Steam and smell. Aromatherapy was something Hawaii did back in the day as well. And to mean heart. Okay. Why am I spending a lot of time on this and explaining this is because these three phases were reserved for the collection of herbs for medicinal purposes. And one of the things that they found over generations of time is during the la'au phases, you would actually have more sap, concentrated amounts of sap in your herbs during these three phases that follow after the full moon phase. And during the full moon phases, you got the high tide and the low tide. The other things that you have on this island is high lava activity.
Yeah.
Okay, low. You know, so you have extremes.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your episodes of earthquakes happen during the full moon phases and also during the new moon phases, if you guys didn't know that. Okay, so any kind of liquid is affected by the high tide and the low tide. So somehow they discovered that nights after the full moon phases is the best time that you would get your potent herbs for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when they would go and collect them on kukahi, la'au kulua, and also by la'au pau is the time when they would administer those herbs to people who need it.
At the last state phase, plant any vine.
Most potent. Okay, so for planting, it's your bananas again, okay, and they believe, another word for la'au is stick, so if you planted during these evenings, you would actually have to use a stick to prop up your banana tree by the amount of bananas that your tree has. Okay, again, going back to the idea of administering la'au and healing, so all of these evenings are specific for healing. And that's a lolu plant. They use lolu in part of their ceremony for healing. Okay, so far so good? Can we go back? Sure. Okay, planting gather. Oh, there was this person by the name of Burr, who was a scientist that did an actual experiment in the 40s, 1943 to be exact, to test if plants actually have more sap content after, to just see if that was and prove that it was actually true.
What was his name?
His last name was Burr, B-U-R-R. You can find that information in Native Planters. I think it's page 353.
Oh,
yeah, that's awesome. Okay. Without or none providing insight on how unproductive these phases will be, do you guys remember what the name of these phases were?
Ole.
Very good. The ala nickname syndrome. No good, no bueno. Okay, so these are the times that you would mend your gear and maintain things, cultivate mulch. Mulching is actually the perfect time for these phases. That's when you would do it during the older phases.
But you cannot plant that one, or can you? No.
Oh, you can. On this.
On that one.
Yeah, olive pau again. The idea of olive pau
around.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So that was the second anahulu. This is the final anahulu, the last 10 phases on the ho'emi as it decreases in size. Again, you remember the waning, the waxing on this side, the waning on this side. So the next phases that we have that follow after those oles are called kaloa. Everybody say kaloa.
Kaloa.
Kaloa Kukahi, Kaloa Kulua, Kaloa Kau. Kaloa means long, lengthy. It can also mean tall as well, okay? Excessive. So anything long or tall, or something that grows with tendrils, would benefit under these phases. So maybe you're hoping somebody was asking you. Okay? This is a shot of Olona, okay, that you have there on this island growing from the other side. Olona, Balke, anything of mamaki that you could gather and use and make rope with, how was planted during these phases and also collected during these phases because of the length that you would get off of them. Balke, as they plant, you plant them on these evenings, they grow very tall and concentrated. Okay, so that's a cambium, I guess that's what you plant for your kappa. Okay, so you can do that with, these are the nights that you would do that.
So you can cut your hair during that time?
You can cut it, I don't know, I guess it wouldn't, it was, I don't know, man. Yeah. I just know about the ole phase. Get back to me on that one, though. I will try. Okay, here we go again. Kaloa, long and tall. So you can plant things like string beans, whole beans, those kind of things. Eggplant, things that are long. Mamake, mamaki, depends on where you're from. Balke, okay. Wapime, which is lemongrass. Grows longer and taller. Okay, bamboo, sugar cane, and tea leaves. Longer and taller on these days. Okay? These are also the nights they would plant the big seeds for good wine. Okay, next phase is, everybody always asks me, when is the best time to plant herbs? When's the best time to plant things up in the forest? Okay, besides the cool phases, these are the best. The bestest of the best of the best phases to plant anything green, okay? The phases of Kane, Lono, and Maoli. These are all Akua names, Akua deities, okay? During the Kane phases, anything green, things in the forest will prosper, will grow very well. Lono, he's the deity that is in charge of cultivated growth, agriculture. Good time to plant. And then Maoli or Maoliola, he's the guy who has to do with essence, spirituality, darkness. Dark black in when you look in the forest, that dark, that verdant color. Or when you look at a very healthy plant, that dark color that a healthy plant has, that's Maoli. Okay, and these are those phases. So what happens now is we're just about ready to get into the new moon phases. Okay, so these guys rise late at night, early in the morning, and set in the daytime. Good fishing times too. Okay, the final phase is moku. Everybody say moku.
Moku.
Moku is cut short, okay, the crest of a wave, and is a measurement from the tip of your elbow all the way to the tip of your finger. Oh, sorry, I got cut off there. Okay. So, one muku. This is a muku. Approximately 4 feet long. Okay. This was a night also reserved for daytime for planting bananas. You're not going to get a 4 foot banana, but you will get a 4 foot kanal or stalk of your banana. Okay. This is manini. This is another native banana. Okay. All right, so those are the phases, all 30 of them. Okay? Are we good? Okay. So I'm going to talk about how the months affect that, how the months affect planting, okay? And the malama, to go back to our 30 phases, one malama, one lunar month, okay, has seasonal and cyclical changes that are marked in every single lunar month that you can predict ahead of time what's going to happen, what's very good for planting or not. So, we divide the year, some people divide the year into two halves, okay, to two halves. Okay, we have our wet season, okay, which is called Ho'oilo, or Ho'oilo, depends on where you're from. These are those lunar months that we're talking about, the Malama, okay? Each of these Malama have an expected season or activity, climate activity. Okay, we also have Malama that are specific to fishing and when you can or cannot fish. Okay? So, this is right up Bunker by Pu'u Mata'ala, on the coal outside of this island. Okay, this is what it looks like in the wet season. Okay, very verdant, very green. Do you guys know where Pu'u Mata'ala is? Like next to Kulani, that area. Okay, so this is that. Lots of mist, okay, rain, that's what it looks like. Healthy, green. Okay, rainbow falls, Anue Nue. This is the average look of the river as it's flowing, right, the waterfall. Okay, so we have to remember that. This is on the Kona side of the island. Okay, so during the wet season, this is the old Kona field system. Actually, yes, this is the Kona field system starts right in the Kohala area, goes all the way 26 miles that way and 6 miles this way. I forget how many tons of food that it could actually produce, but this is a good time to plant. You can see it's green, okay, and this is during the winter time. Okay, so if you know that, okay, then you know you probably want to be planting on the Kona side. Okay, you want to be planting. Everything's happy. Okay, so each of these lunar months has an expectation for farming. You got winters in full swing. You got plants that are showing shoots. Okay, as the lunar months go on, things are water soaked in the ground, so you have to be careful about things that's happening, how you cultivate your plants, if it's too waterlogged, etc. Moving along really quickly. We've got Kaulua, Nana, and Velo. These are the last 3 months of the wet season. So everything's animated, everything's blooming. You've got your lychee, you have your ohia eye here going off. Okay, everything is animated. It's a good time. Okay, so that's the wet season. Then you have your malama that are in the dry season. Okay, Kauvela. All right. A lot of fishing occurs during this time. The ocean is cleaner. It's a lot easier for pelagic fish to come in closer, to aggregate closer. So in the old days, they would prepare the fishing nets on that lunar month, actually put a couple on the opelo fishing, and then allow fishing for the apu as it comes in. They would work with the cycle, not against it, and only fish during that time, and when it was done, it was done. Nobody, you had very big penalties if you didn't listen. Okay, the mountain is very animated during the summertime. Okay, summertime is still pretty wet up there. Things are active. We got our ohelo berries. Fruit are weighing down off of trees. This is when your almonds are all active, your avocados and things like that. Okay, latter part of the dry season, you still have growing things starting to look old. Okay, so people are all about fishing more than actually farming. The latter part of the lunar month, people are storing things, preparing to cure fish and things like that. So there's more fishing occurring than there is farming. This is the same spot that we saw earlier. Okay, Pu'u Mata'ala is just above there. It's all dry. Okay, there's no mist whatsoever. Okay. This is what Anue Nue looks like. Okay? Average, so if you guys see the different seasons, it determines what kind of farming and what kind of fishing is happening. This is also the same field system. Oh yeah, the color is kind of dark. It's actually dry. It's all brown. So you kind of know a bone plant. Yeah. Okay. All right, so that wraps up my talk, actually, and so I'll take questions. There's actually lots more. That's just a very small little entertaining view of farming by the moon. If you're really interested in learning more about it, you can actually email me, say add me to your list, and you'll get a free newsletter. Don't charge anybody for that, so it's fun. So I just do it for fun. I feel like it's my service at the least. It helps people who are farming get in. People who aren't farming and want to get into farming, it helps them to start to pay attention. And that's basically what this is all about, starting to pay attention to what the moon is doing, what's happening in the ocean, how your plants are affected, when the spider webs show up, when do they disappear. All those things are kind of very important to farming. Okay, when the caterpillars come and start eating your leaves. So if you know that, don't plant certain things during those times, or overplant so that you make up the difference.
Yeah.
Correlation with the farmer's almanac, have you looked at that at all?
I have, yeah, pretty accurate. Well, it's the same idea of people working on the land for over generations of time, collecting the same information and then keeping that over, you know, that's basically what it is. Yes, there's lots of correlations. Very much so. We don't really have winter, or, you know, our winters are very limited and things like that. So if you're looking at something that's, say, like in California or even further east or north, very different. Okay. Yeah, so very different. But here in Hawaii, it's a little more wet season, dry season oriented. That's pretty much what it is. And then it really does depend on where you're located. This island is huge. You know, on Maui, I can always see the coastline, no matter where I go. On this island, you can get dropped off in the middle of somewhere and not see any, no mountain, no ocean, anywhere. You can get really lost. So to me, it's really about where you're located on the slope of the island. If you're on the east side of the island, it's very different than what's going on the west. So as you saw in the examples of the Ko'olau, how wet the Ko'olau side was, how dry the Ko'olau side was, although it was still a little greener. You know, so those kinds of things matter if you're in a valley, if you're in wind, all those things. So the Kaulana Mahina is very, very place-based and site-specific. Very specific to what is happening in your area. Now, if you're next to the volcano, that's a whole nother different ball game altogether. Yeah, farming next to the volcano. So that in itself is very new farming.
I think the different phases of the moon is about a light that's observable, or is it more like that and also like magnetic forces?
Yeah, it's all of that. Yeah, definitely. Like luminosity of the moon, how bright things are, they're affected by that. Height, animals as well, plants. And also how much energy is being pushed down or pulled up as it's rising and as it's on our zenith and ascending. All of that is really important to know and understand. There's even some belief in how you line up your rows of different things, and whether you face them a certain way or face them if you lie them flat or which way. All of that matters. Yeah, depending on the way the moon is. Yeah. Question was. Yeah.
Sorry. What do farmers do during the daytime?
Well, they work during the daytime too. Yes, they work. So
based on not on lunar, but based on what?
Oh, on the lunar phase, actually. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So some of the phases happen during the daytime, like the cool phases. So you want to be planting things that are upright. You know, things at night when you want things to be bright and full. Well, then that's the only time you would do evening activity really for planting because it's so bright. But other than that, it's the daytime that it would happen. So when I talk about the moon, I mean when the phase is up and then sets, and before the next phase comes again, that's when those phases, you know, that's how you would, our day is measured or calculated. Does that make sense? Okay, so, well, I don't know, do you work in the daytime farming? I know, like, if I don't weed,
only
my... Yeah. I know, Carol Patches, if I don't weed, like, 1 week I miss, I'm no bueno, man. I'm grateful to the weed whackers. I love weed whackers. I'm happy for them.
Dry sugar cane.
Yeah.
So, when you get the Hawaiian moon calendar, does it say each specific phase, what good to plant?
The Prince Kuhio Hawaiian Civic Club calendar is the only one that has detailed information per moon phase.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is that again?
It's called, I think it's just the Hawaiian moon calendar.
Yeah.
And it's actually at the basic books right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Oh.
And they only have a few left, like a few, like 20 slides left or something.
Is that yours?
Well, I helped them with calculating that. Yeah,
oh,
I
okay.
You know, but yeah, so they're the only ones that do that. If you're interested, there's a book called Native Planters by Handy and Handy and Fukui, and I think it's like chapter 6 or something. It's a really huge chapter specifically on lunar calendar activity, and it's based on this guy named Kipolino, who is actually from Kona, and then some other academic scholars back in the day who were Hawaiian scholars. That's actually a very good The name is called Native Planters. It's a very fat book. It's probably about 80 bucks.
Okay.
And it's by Handy and Handy and Fukui. Handy and Handy were husband and wife. They were anthropologists, so they brought the Hawaiians so she could talk to the Hawaiians, and that's how they got the information. But it goes. What's really nice is they go from each district all throughout almost the whole archipelago of Hawaii, and they interview all the different farmers.
Wow.
And so all those evening ceremonies I talked about came from that book.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So,
at all?
Yeah.
Was that a normal thing though? Was that
well three? Yeah, we this year. Actually.
I know
3 weeks of rain.
That was in November, right? The big one that we just had.
Yeah, November, December.
Yeah, really huge. You know
no corn rain.
Do you guys remember about 5 years ago we had the same kind of rain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like it's like every 5 year cycle.
I don't know.
Just things that I marked down, you know, like, hey, that's the same thing. I remember the guy, the truck over here getting stuck by all the flooding that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people in Puna too, right? So, I mean, the roads, not them, but yeah. So, yeah. Unlike Kauai, because that was also the same time, right? That was a big one that everybody got washed away too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things, so it's like every 5 years, so you know, now's the time to start marking all those things, paying attention to that. So start from scratch.
How does the position of the moon change from Kaukala to Hōʻihiro? Does it follow how the sun
goes? Yeah, the sun actually goes across the horizon this way. It takes the sun about 6 months to go all the way south. Well, 3 months to go all the way south, and then 3 months to go 3 months. Right? Okay, so what happens is the moon actually only goes in between and it takes less than 1 time. So it takes it 3 months to go that way, 3 months to go this way, 3 months to go that way, 3 months to go this way. For the moon, it's just two. It's more aligned with what's happening with the Earth, right? So it stays on the Earth. It doesn't really tilt too much. It's stuck. Does that make sense? Okay.
I've been trying to use this for the last few years.
Yes.
And I'm getting to the point now where I can actually recognize some of the phases by looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Not all, but some.
Okay.
But we don't have sitting five or days and look at the calendar.
Right.
Trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do today.
Based on the way that the moon looks?
I have to, the day starts when the moon rises. Right,
and it sets, it ends when it's,
So sometimes when I look at the calendar, I'm not sure which day I'm on.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I mean, Hilo is really obvious, and
the clues are in the obvious.
All the days are obvious.
Yeah.
But the other days, if I don't see the moon and I look at the calendar,
you're lost.
Yeah.
No, my only suggestion is you just have to stay on it every day. Also, learn when the moon rises. Moonrise and moonset is really, really important. So you kind of sort of know when the moon is. You just sort of have a feeling
eventually.
Yeah, because, oh, yeah, the moon's right there. Eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that kind of thing. And
yeah.
So over time, before you, it just happens.
Did you have a question?
I was thinking about natural disasters.
Yes.
With the study of the moon, could we save ourselves? If something's going to happen, whether it's an earthquake or tsunami, and be part of the civil defense?
Right. Yeah. You know, we have not so much with the moon, but we have the way that, actually, I take that back. There are, with the activities with the high tides and the low tides, we can expect to have high lava activity and low lava activity. So that's monthly, you know, and the way the tides move with the Earth, that's a new study that they're watching to see how it changes the Earth and how that affects earthquakes and things. That's actually the latest lunar activity kind of studies that they're doing. So in terms of can we predict if there's a tsunami coming, we don't have, there's a story that's written in 1836 in the Hawaiian language newspapers, it's April. It doesn't really have an author, it doesn't really say anything, but it talks about how you can predict during the ole phases, from one ole phase, the beginning of that ole phase to 30 after, so you come back to it, you can see that earthquake activity will occur from the ole to the ole. Interesting story that's in the Hawaiian Night newspaper. And it talks about earthquake activity and tsunami coming off onto the earth, out of the ocean into the earth to go and retrieve somebody. So there's that. We also have stories that talk about the sun and the color of the sun. So when the sun is extremely red, they talk about that's the time when you can expect most of the earthquake activity and tsunami activity. And I'm sorry. The last thing that we have earthquake clouds. So clouds that are named after earthquakes. So if you see these things in the sky, oh no way, then you know for a fact that you're going to have one soon. I'll just throw that out there. I don't know what that does for our civil defense folk. What's that?
I heard many years ago that about shaving
clouds. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I say to the cigars. They're like this. Up in the sky, and they have sort of almost anvil-looking tops and bottoms. That's how they describe it.
Wow. And did you say that the lava? You could watch the lava getting taller. There were times when lava would rise.
You can, and actually you can go to HBO on their website. You know, the Hawaii National Park guys, the Kilauea folk. And if you catch if you follow the moon phases, and you look at the episodes, you can see a correlation of how many occur from one phase to the next. And how little activity there is during certain phases and how much there are, especially during the full moon phases. And you can see it actually follows the tide, the way the tide works. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. That's it for me. Thank you.